Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White. Joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how you doing, sir?
Look, man, we're recording this post-lunch on a Friday. I'm feeling good.
Never a bad place to be.
Yeah, if we can stay focused in this podcast and not stray too far off topic, you know, I'll consider it a success.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
but no, in all seriousness, beyond the fact that it's Friday, I'm excited to dive into today's conversation because I think, you know, so many people, you know, when they're looking at how do they build the foundational pillars of a marketing program and a content marketing program, you know, for B2B manufacturers, webinars often surface to the top of that consideration list. And then they quickly plummet to the bottom as people start to consider the lift involved, maybe, or they're not comfortable with the technology, or maybe they're not quite sure how to leverage all aspects of it. And I think today's guest is going to help shine a light on this.
Yeah, I think that people who are thinking that may not be considering all of the potential upsides.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to give it all away.
No.
No, absolutely. So joining us today is Rachel Cassette. Rachel is the marketing manager at Rogers Machinery Company. Welcome to the Cooler Ring, Rachel.
Hi, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Rachel, thank you for joining us. It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's learn a little bit more about Rogers Machinery and how you ended up there. Could you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I've been with Rogers for almost 5 years now, and we are a air compressor manufacturer and supplier and distributor, and we also manufacture vacuum pumps, and we distribute all sorts of process and utility equipment. So vacuum systems, pumps, industrial air compressors and vacuum systems. We do air audits. We have an engineered system solutions team, so we can build highly customized and technical systems. Essentially, if you work for a company that makes anything, then you are probably using one of our products, an air compressor, a vacuum, or a pump to make or refine or package that product. And that's what we do.
I've got to say, every time I hear somebody say something like, if you, and then it's like so broad, like you make something,
yeah,
then you probably use whatever. I look at the negative of that. I'm like, oh my goodness, the targeting problems that we have coming up with a target account list in that situation. Yeah, but appreciate that background. Thank you for sharing it. And we started off the show with talking about that webinar program and how it has become a bit of a pillar for the work at Rogers. I guess let's just start peeling that back a little bit. How long has that program been on the go now, Rachel?
So I started that in 2022. I hosted a handful of webinars that year. And then 2023 was actually kind of the first full-scale year where I launched the webinar program and had a clearer idea around pre- and post-production and bringing in some of our vendor partners and really fleshed that program out a little more was 2023. So this 2025 has been our third year working on our webinar program, and it continues to grow.
How did you start? What was the impetus for beginning a webinar program?
Yeah. So really, it's kind of ironic because when I'm sitting here thinking about it, which doesn't happen often, because I feel like a marketer, if you manage marketing in a mid-size or small size company, you're probably all by your lonesome, or maybe you have one other person on your team, right? So it's almost that entrepreneurial mindset. You see a space where there could be some opportunity that you can apply to your current company and you make it happen and figure it out. So I saw other companies having webinars, and some of our vendors that we distribute product, they were having webinars. And I wanted to create another channel that would really benefit us, especially, you know, in that 2022, 2023 time range, we were kind of coming into this, you know, cookies were going away and people were caring more about their privacy, and you really needed to make it worth. You needed to give more than you were asking. So if you're going to ask someone for their email or their information, or even more valuable, their attention, you have to make it really worth their while. And the webinar program was just the perfect solution to that. So we could grow our first party data list and our email list while also providing education in these webinars that they would find valuable. And there's several different ways that I really made it tailored to them. So it's not one of those webinars where you hop in and it ends up being a pitch for that, for the company or for a product line. I was super strict with all my presenters. No one cares about you. No one cares about your company. No one cares about your quick bio. No one cares about what product you have and its model numbers and features. They're here to learn about, they want to be educated around this very specific thing. Like, for example, how vacuum works with liquids. That was one of our most recent webinars. Or Nitrogen 101, or how to size a compressed air dryer. And they want to be educated on those things. And they don't care about anything else. And the beauty of the program is you really don't have to sell in the forward-facing sense. Everything you teach these people within that 45 minutes or an hour of time, they're going to come back over and over and over to learn. And you're building credibility with them and trust with them every single time. So when it is, they're at the point where they're looking for something like that and they do want the actual product information, they come to you because you didn't waste their time before and you didn't take advantage of their time before. And you gave them value the entire time with these webinars. And they look forward to the emails where you're like, hey, this is what's coming up next. And the follow-up emails where, hey, thanks for joining the webinar. Here's the recording. Here's the slide. Here's the brochure and all of the documents that maybe were asked for within the Q&A at the end. And oh, by the way, here's an article or a case study that we wrote around that specific topic in case you want to learn more. And it just is super organic and really easy.
That kind of pursuit of providing value, it is, you know, some people look at that and they think, oh, that's going to be, you know, that's harder. Like it's a, now I need to really make sure this is top notch, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, and I really like what you said there, Rachel, in that it actually makes it easier for the non-salespeople. Like it's not about teaching non-salespeople how to be salesy. It's about, no, as long as they know that their job is to teach and convey what they know and are good at, you know, the rest of the sale process will work itself out.
Exactly. And the other thing too, this whole, you know, creating demand, it's going to create itself. So it's really just about positioning yourself so that when somebody is ready, they think of you because you've already built trust with them. And we're at a point with our program too, and maybe we'll get to, you know, kind of the steps that I took to scale the program. But one of the things that we offer is PDH certifications, which engineers need every year. And so if you attend one of our webinars, then you get a PDH certificate. If you attend the live webinar, well, we get emails immediately like, hey, can I get my PDH certificate? We send them out within 48 hours, but people are chomping at the bit for the recording and the slides. Our Q&A section is like portion of the webinar is becoming more and more active. And, you know, they are registering. We get repeat people that register for our webinars because we're actually solving a problem for them as well, which is, oh, I got to get these PDH credits in every year to, you know, for my job and, you know, for my education and to stay current. And we're making that super easy for them too.
And that's a huge hook.
Was that part of the original thinking or something that you kind of realized you could do later once you started covering some interesting topics?
That was something we started that in 2023. So the very first webinars that I did, it wasn't a part of my thought process, but very quickly, because obviously a lot of engineers attend webinars and they were requested. And I was like, oh, well, that's easy. I can make a beautiful looking PDH certificate with the date and the name of the webinar they attended and our branding on it, like on Canva, super easy, and download them and mail them a PDF of their certificate. It's the PDF of the PDH. It gets a little mouthful there, but yeah. And it's just, oh yeah, easy. I can make that for you and send it to you. And it looks official. Now I will caveat this by saying, because I did get inquiries later on, it varies by state. So our corporate headquarters are in Oregon, and in Oregon, the criteria to provide a PDH certificate may be different than, you know, whatever state the listeners' companies are located. So for us, it just had to be educational and, you know, meet certain criteria, but it didn't need to be reviewed. I think some states have stricter criteria where the content would need to be reviewed and approved. So that's something to keep in mind.
That's excellent advice, but it certainly is a destination worth pursuing, I think.
What a hook.
Yeah. Incredible. Rachel, I want to explore that what you've done with vendor partners here as well, because you mentioned that it's kind of part of your inspiration initially is that the number of vendor partners were also doing webinars, and it kind of surfaced it to your mind. But I know that you've integrated them in the strategy it's part of this plan. So I guess enlighten us a bit as to, you know, what is their role and how do you leverage their support?
Yeah. So I started reaching out to our vendors as well, because I wanted to build those relationships and engage with them. And I'm also not, we represent a lot of different brands and a lot of different products. If you look at, you know, the Rogers Machinery, our website, we have a lot of different offerings, and I can't be the expert in every single product, every single brand. I'm capable of a lot, and that's not one of them. So reaching out to our vendors, I was able to say, hey, we're doing this webinar program. I would love it if you presented on this topic, and here are the parameters, or even asking them, hey, when it comes to oil lubricated or oil-free air dryers in, let's say, oil-free air compressors in medical manufacturing. Okay, well, they can put together a presentation around that, and then they get to be in front of the people that are attending that webinar as well that may not be on their email list, and they get to be in the Q&A. We're building credibility as well, because we're not an OEM for every single product that we, you know, sell and service and offer. We manufacture our own line of air compressors and vacuums, but we offer a breadth of different things. And so I wanted to bring them in, because that lends credibility when it's like, hey, we partner with them and they are the experts and we work with them and their products, and they know their stuff on this topic, and you can learn from them. The other thing, they're really eager to do that because they want to partner with their distribution network and see that we're engaged. So it was a really great way to say, like, hey, we care about this partnership and we're nurturing this with you. Also, if I have them share, like, we have this webinar coming up, why don't you go ahead and promote this in your social community and with your email list? Because I don't share my registrant list. So I host the webinars, they're run by me, and you can promote it to your people, and then I will happily get that, you know, registrant list, and then I'm expanding mine that way as well. But I'm not opening up, I'm not, you know, sending that list to everyone and their dog, because I want to protect that too.
And have you been able to leverage vendor support dollars, like co-op dollars, things of that nature as well to fund this program?
Yes. So then I started, so part of my advertising budget, we used to buy ad space within industry publications. So like, oh, here's our ad. They click on it and go to like an article or something. And we never found any real impact with those. So I shifted to sponsoring some of their webinars, where we might get a 10-minute speaking spot or a 20-minute speaking spot, or even have our own webinar, but it's hosted and managed by them, by this third party. And then I would bring in a vendor and say, hey, we want to do this webinar. It's around this topic and we, you know, work with you. You're our supplier for this product line. You're the expert in this topic. We want you to be the presenter for us. And this, you know, sponsorship costs this much. Let's go havesies on it, you know, and just see what they say. And it's typically, you know, pretty small dollars, and they're eager to do that. And I think it's because the partnership, they love seeing that. They love seeing that one of their distributors is actually engaged and seeing them being involved in your marketing program and bringing them in and saying, oh, they care, as opposed to, you know, how many people work with distributors that you send them, you know, here's product images and our logo and a short bio, and then you never hear from them again. But if you bring them in and show like, hey, we actually really care about this partnership and promoting you too, and we're getting all of these contacts and we co-brand the deck and, you know, all of this, I've never gotten a no from any of our vendors that we've brought in.
Man, that has to do wonders for that distributor manufacturer relationship too, right?
Absolutely. And we do that as well with case studies that we create that feature some of their, you know, product that we've sold and installed. And, you know, we support our customer base with the products that they, that we get from them. And then you share that with them or the webinar recording, and they send it to their higher ups and are just singing your praises. And then you become the favorite child, you know, and it's just a win-win-win-win. And that's not even talking about the excellent content that you get. I mean, every webinar we produce, we have the whole recording, and then we get three bites out of it. So we can share on social and on YouTube and across, you know, all of our platforms, and you get the transcript, and it's just amazing content.
And that content is created with vendor support, of course, and they're also promoting that same content. You're getting the cross-link benefits, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you, now that you've been at this a while, I have to assume you've begun to experience some organic search or maybe even generative search lift as a result of having this kind of depth of content.
We definitely, in the months that we have webinars throughout the year, multiple ones every month. And except for we take 1 month break in September to kind of get a breather, because it's not a small amount of work. So it's not daunting. So anyone listening, you can do it, and it's so worth it, but it's no small amount of work. And so we do take that month off, and we definitely see a significant drop in the amount of traffic to our website from email, like, because we're not promoting the webinars. And then the next month, it immediately spikes back up.
The thing that I really love about that is that, and this is a great lesson for a lot of marketers who may, you know, you may have, as you said, you know, one lonely person, maybe two, within a marketing department at certain size organizations, and you may not have additional budget for media or other things or an outside agency or any of that. But this is something that you can do without any of that. Just the people and the human resources that you have and a bit of elbow grease, you can build a webinar program and eventually even turn it into, you know, with that vendor support inside of things, it can actually make money. So I think that's a real, you know, something for people to consider who are maybe sitting around thinking, well, I can't really do anything because I can't buy ads. You know, or I don't have a program in order to hire somebody to shoot a video for me. No, you can do this yourself.
Exactly. And we do our webinars still to this day, just on Teams. We use Microsoft Teams, and you can set up a webinar using that. Obviously Microsoft isn't free, but if your company uses Microsoft, like most do, I would assume that tool is available to you, and you can just use that to create your webinars. And, we can get into the nitty gritty, or maybe that's for a later time, but I'm like, make sure you check this box in the settings and things like this, or, you know, do different things that I've kind of, you know, learned over time. But, yeah, it's been excellent for us, and we continue to grow it. And it's kind of checked all of the boxes. And we actually, when we started in 2022, I think our email list had like 20 some contacts on it. And now we're at almost 3,000. So it's really, and that's filtering out employees and competitors that attend our webinars as well, which we don't exclude. I mean, this isn't anything you can't Google. So I don't care if a competitor wants to attend, that's fine. I'm just not going to promote the next one to you. You have to go to our webinar page on our website and register for the next one. But that's almost 3,000 contacts of customers, end users, and engineering firms that we can actually work with and help and support. And that's going to become even more and more valuable. So
it's always so gratifying when you see a competitor consuming some of your content. Mm-hmm. We've been releasing industrial buyer pulse research over the last while. And so a special shout out to Joe, if you're listening. Thank you for consuming our content, even though you're a competitor. I'm curious, kind of hooking on Jeff's inquiry a bit around resourcing or comment around it, something that you can do in-house. And that's certainly true. And I think you've proven that, Rachel. But you have said as well that you're not shying away from saying, look, it is a lot of work. We took September off. So I guess with all that in mind, any tips for a small to mid-sized manufacturer with a small, maybe one-person marketing team, how ought they think about resourcing this? Can you give us some, wrap your arms around kind of the estimated effort once you get up and running per episode, or any kind of guidance that you could give that way?
Absolutely. First of all, find me on LinkedIn. And I'll give you the in-detailed playbook. I'm not about gatekeeping, but seriously, the very first thing I would do is think about who in your company would be a good presenter. So, and it's not just the most knowledgeable person, which is what you want, but it also needs to be somebody who has some presence and can give a presentation. They don't have to be some TED Talk person. They don't have to be a professional speech giver. They can, you actually want them to come across as human and conversational and relaxed and like, hey folks, we're here to talk about this. And because it puts people at ease and they know they're, going to be getting what they came for. But think about, it's probably going to be someone on the engineering team or one of your product managers, or it could even be somebody in sales that's been there a long time. Be careful with them though, because you got to put the bumper rails up for them. And be vicious about that, I would also say. Be like, this is strictly educational. Make sure you manage all of the slide decks. So I have all of my people, all my presenters, send me their slides. And then I put them onto our slide deck because it's our webinar program. We'll co-brand, but it's on our deck. And I will delete out anything. We don't need your company history. We don't need our company history. We don't need your bio. None of that. Get straight into the content, but think about who are going to be your presenters. And also, if you have vendors that you work with, who those people might be, and then just shoot them an email and say, hey, I want to put together a webinar program. Do you think that you could put together a deck for a presentation on this topic that would be 30 to 45 minutes long? And then I'm going to host this on Teams. It'll be really casual. We'll have our cameras on so people can see your face when you're giving the presentation. And we'll just go through. It'll be interactive. I always have it people muted because nothing's worse than hearing someone's dog in the middle of a presentation or something who's not muted. But people can use the chat and you can just interrupt and have your questions answered as you go along. So it's just all about the attendee. And that's really what you want to focus on. Find your presenter and just get something going. It's better to just start and make it better and make it better. That's what I did. Just start and then see what you get out of it. And then just keep going and share all that content on social and say, hey, here's our next webinar. The other thing that we did too, and this might, depending on what your website backend looks like, maybe you could put this together yourself, maybe not. But we have a page on our website where you can view all of our past webinar recordings and see all of our upcoming ones to register. And the past webinar recordings all pull up a form. So you have to give me your info. I want to see who's accessing the recordings. But then they're also an excellent sales tool. They're great for onboarding a new salesperson. So that's a great way to get people internally involved, because like all of our webinars around compressed air, we put into a playlist. And so, oh, here's the link to the playlist. You can learn about all the different topics that we talked about within compressed air or within vacuum or nitrogen systems or compressed air dryers or filtration, all of the different things. It's like, oh, they're here in a playlist. And you can see all of the things that essentially we're an expert in without saying that. And it's just, the possibilities are endless.
Man, it was like the promise of social media in the early days.
It's a great recipe for a pilot, recipe and encouragement, I would say, Rachel. I'm wondering, how many webinars did you get out into the wild before you said to yourself, we really need to make this a thing? Like, how long did it take for the pilot to really take hold and for you to say this needs to be a regular program?
Oh, it was almost immediate. It was almost immediate, which is why I'd have to look back, but I think we have five maybe webinars that we did in 2022. And then I had a full program by 2023 where I was looping Inventor. It's almost immediate, because especially because I know my boss and potentially, you know, listeners, the people above you, they want to see your vendors engaged. They want vendors talking about you and your company and being like, oh my gosh, they're so great. I just did this webinar with them and we had this great conversation and we had 20 attendees, 50 attendees, 100 attendees. You know, even if it's a small group, it will build, and it's almost immediate, and you can use that content for all sorts of things.
I think that's very encouraging. I mean, you talked about starting with 20, an email list of 20 folks, and you know, five episodes in, you're seeing the wind in the sails enough to invest into a fulsome program. I think for anybody listening that's considering it, maybe take Rachel up on her offer and connect with her on LinkedIn.
Yeah, feel free.
Rachel, we're quickly coming to a close. Is there any, what's been your biggest surprise? What's been the thing that you didn't see coming that has happened as a result of this webinar program?
Biggest surprise. This might, not to toot my own horn, but I guess that it's one of a webinar program is honestly a sure thing. So I can't recommend doing it enough. So I would say the surprise though was how eager our vendors became to be involved. We get, you know, I get emails. So I'm in that period right now of planning next year. We already kind of have our calendar together roughly. But I keep on, this is why we need a month off, guys, because I keep on having to add more and more. I think we have like 22, 24 webinars a year that we plan, but then there always seems to be more we need to sneak in there because the topics are endless that we could, you know, do these webinars around, but all of our vendors want to be involved. They all want the exposure too. And that's kind of been the biggest pleasant surprise. I guess I wasn't expecting the level of buy-in that I got. And that's just another cherry on top. It's been excellent.
Wow. What an incredible story and success and potential option for people who maybe are struggling to find a channel that works for them.
Absolutely. Rachel, thank you for sharing this with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I had fun chatting with you guys about it. Hopefully the listeners I've dropped a seed in their minds and they'll get something going for themselves.
With any luck at all.
Thank you.